devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. In the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya, acharya-upasanam. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Predecessors of the spiritual masters are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurushu Narumati. Gurushu means unto the acharyas, and Naramati means thinking like a common man. To think of a Vaishnava, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community, to think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the group in the temple as being made of stone, wood, or metal, is condemned. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very materially rich, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on equal level with himself, or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendships with ordinary persons. He should make friendships with other devotees, so that discussing among themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishtagosti. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is reference to Bodhayanta Parasparam, discussing among themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya among themselves. There are innumerable books, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion among two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interest and understanding. Such persons are said to be swajati, of the same caste. The quote, you should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations. And he should make friendship with persons of the same standard.
She was protecting you up until now.
Srila Prabhupada in his purport not only reveals to us what Kapila Dev is saying, what is the quality we should see in a pure devotee, but he also teaches us simultaneously the process of how to become such a pure devotee. It begins by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. In the Vaishnava school, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught that our only aspiration is Gopi Bharatur Padakamali Gauradas Das Das Adidas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Our Mayavadi sampradayas, they also act as the servant of the servant of the Lord. But the idea is, through such service, they become purified, and ultimately, they become the Lord. They become the master of the master of all masters. But Lord Chaitanya, who is God himself, appeared in the role of a devotee to show what he ultimately aspires for. The absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of God, at his greatest pleasure is being the servant of the servant of the devotees. There's that beautiful painting which is depicted from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is a little baby floating on the ocean of dissolution on a single banyan tree leaf, and he's sucking upon his toe. This is God. This is the controller of all controllers. This is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of all universes. This is the ultimate Lord of all religions, the Almighty. Because he sees how much pleasure the devotees are having, tasting the dust of his lotus feet. He wants to taste it. He wants to see the pleasure. He wants to experience the pleasure of the devotees. So of course, if Lord Narayan is sucking on his toes, people would wonder, what is this? But babies do, naturally. So he took form of baby just to experience the bliss of being the servant of the servant of the servant. And Krishna himself, who is Rasaraj, the enjoyer of all devotional, loving mellows, he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste an ecstasy of his devotee, of Srimati Radharani, and to distribute that most precious of all devotional attainments to the whole world. So to honor and respect the devotees is the eternal principle of the Vaishnavas. Forever. We never want to be anything but the servant of the servant of the servant. That is the nature of the spiritual world, where everyone is feeling that greatest happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, when he went to Kumarahatta, the birthplace of his Gurudev, he collected the dirt from the ground and he sprinkled it on his head, and then he ate it. And he wept tears of ecstatic joy, and from his heart sprung the word. that this dirt from the birthplace of my Gurudev is the most precious of all treasures. It is the greatest possession of all my possessions. And he tied that dirt up in a little piece of cloth and kept it with him. And every day he ate a little and cried and remembered his guru in this way. This is God. He's not just pretending. This is how much God loves his devotee. And at the same time, he was teaching us this is how we should honor the great Vaishnavas. And how people have followed in the footsteps. Has any of you ever been to Kumarahatta? Please raise your hand. If you go there, you'll see that that very place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected the dirt, so many millions of people have gone there to collect that dirt and eat it and take some home with them, that it became a huge hole. And during the monsoons, it became a lake filled with water. And now people go there and they drink the water. And they take some of the dirt from the banks. So the lake is always getting bigger. So we have come to Cleveland, Ohio, the birthplace of His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. And Cleveland is not, you know, it doesn't have nice banana trees like Kumarahatta and rice paddies. So, you know, taking the dirt from downtown Cleveland and eating it every day, maybe it's a test of your faith. Or maybe you just meditate on, you know, doing it in the heart of your hearts, but I don't know what diseases you might get. Unless you really have faith, really deeply have faith. But it's the principle that is important. We have all come to celebrate Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj's Vyas Puja in his birthplace. The place that he manifested himself in this world. And from here, he went to Princeton, and then he went to New York City. That's where he first really connected with devotees. The very place that Srila Prabhupada established Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission for the whole world was New York City. And it was there that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami surrendered his life. And how he surrendered his life. Princeton graduate, civil rights activist. He had such an unbelievable career ahead of him if he pursued it from a material perspective. He could have made the city of Cleveland really proud of him by going up the ring of, or the ladder of material prosperity. He had everything. He had a degree from one of the highest, most prestigious universities on the planet Earth. He had tremendous charisma, tremendous intelligence, enthusiasm, determination. He could have been a millionaire or a billionaire, who knows? All beautiful ladies would have flocked around him. They still did in another way. Beautiful men also. But when he came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and he saw what Srila Prabhupada was giving, the substance, he witnessed who Srila Prabhupada was. how Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, the highest abode of the spiritual world, to go on that Jaladuta boat and sail across ocean, heart attacks and all, seasickness, to live in the ghettos of New York, suffering strokes and all kinds of other impediments, poverty, death threats, being evicted by his, being robbed of the little he had. And he kept pursuing it. And Srila Prabhupada explained he was doing it all to serve his Gurudev. He didn't say, I am the Almighty God. Prabhupada said, I am simply the servant of my spiritual master. My life and my soul. That's the highest essence of spirituality. To love. To love God. And to express that love by service. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, with his incredible intellect, he understood and digested these principles. And at the prime of his life, he surrendered it to Srila Prabhupada in form and in spirit. And he never ever turned back. He never questioned it. His last breath, he gave his life to serve others, to be an instrument of Prabhupada's compassion in this world. Srila Prabhupada, I often quote, in one Vyasa Puja in London, hundreds and hundreds of devotees came from America, from all over Europe, to worship him. Srila Prabhupada, in his speech, the day before he installed Radha Gokulananda in Bhaktivedanta Manor, so many people came. Prabhupada was glorifying his devotees. Everyone came to glorify him, but he was glorifying his devotees. He said, we are soon coming out with Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is only possible because of Prajumana. Who I call Prajumana Mahashoy, very high honor. Jiva Goswami gave that title to Narottam Das Thakur. And Prabhupada said, actually, it was by his hard work that this is how it happened. And then he praised Arundhati, Prajumana's wife, who did the typesetting and editing in different ways. And then he started different Grihastha couples. He was glorifying them. In one Vyasa Puja, or disappearance, I'm sorry, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was saying, I am very old. You are doing everything. He was giving all credit. And Prabhupada would say, I see my spiritual master in all of you. That was Prabhupada's view. I see my spiritual master in all of you. That means, in serving you, I am serving my spiritual master. And Prabhupada was talking about his disciples. Not only his disciples, he was talking about even the conditioned souls. He was seeing that by serving others, he was serving his Gurudev. This was the final teachings of Jesus. Before his teaching of crucifixion, during the last supper, he went to wash the feet of every one of his assembled disciples. And St. Peter said, no, no, Master, you cannot wash my feet. And he said, I must. He was setting the example. He said, I want to show you. If this is how I honor and worship all of you, how should you honor and worship each other? That was Srila Prabhupada's move. He saw service to his guru in offering service to all the Vaishnavas, and ultimately, he's serving all living entities. And this is a really, really elaborate verse with many very deep and powerful essential subjects. I don't want to take time away from all of you speaking, because I wouldn't be a very good servant if I did that. But well, let's just focus for the few minutes we have left on this point. This was Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's life and soul. He saw Srila Prabhupada in the heart of the devotees. And he saw Srila Prabhupada and Krishna in the heart of all living beings. And he understood that to serve the devotees, to give them a quality, happy life in Krishna consciousness, to give them a sense of protection, stability, and especially inspiration and enthusiasm, was how he was serving Srila Prabhupada. That was Prabhupada's spirit. And with deep realization from the core of his heart, he really, really tried to capture that spirit and live by that spirit. Srila Prabhupada traveled the world. He could have been writing books, but he said he was doing it because he had to. He wanted to inspire the devotees. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he traveled so many places. And no matter how he felt, he was just a volcanic eruption of enthusiasm. He performed kirtan, when he spoke in classes, so dynamic, so charged with spiritual energy. Wherever he went, whether it was Africa or South America or Russia or Asia or India or America, he was the same. Trying to spread love, care, cooperation, spiritual harmony, trying to really enthuse people to deeply take shelter of the holy name. He would chant japa. I would see him year after year after year, always the same, sitting right in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa saying, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama Rama. Intense! It wasn't a ritual for him. For Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, japa was an intimate expression of love and worship of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Shishi Radha Damodara. And kirtan, I don't have to go into too many details. How he would chant, how he would dance, how he would perspire. how he would induce everyone to do everything he was doing. Contagious. And how he would beat that drum. That drum, when he would pound that drum with that stick. It was like he was pounding away all of our egoistic conceptions. And all that was left was the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And how he would preach in his classes. It was not ritualistically just quoting some verses. Quoted verses, but he spoke with such deep concern to somehow or other penetrate our hearts, infuse our hearts, purify our hearts, transform our hearts, personally, in my own experience of trying to serve the Vaishnavas and trying to be a representative of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, I had a realization that I shared with Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj during our last days together. And I really feel he represented, manifested this. That if we really want to be effective in preaching, real preaching is to transform people's hearts. Of course, we have to speak what the previous acharyas speak. If we're changing, if we're not giving the real siddhanta, cannot really be effective. But it goes beyond that. Examine Srila Prabhupada. Examine such pure servants of Prabhupada as Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And we find something very, very deep and profound, which is very much a part of the heart and secret of what it really means to be an instrument of grace. We're out of time, so I'll tell you next year.
No. No.
Okay, I'll tell you. We have to really care about who we're serving. Sharing this message. From our heart of hearts, if we really care about these people, the devotees, the conditioned souls, then we're going to be praying very deeply. Like Srila Prabhupada and Jala Dutta, he offered those prayers to Krishna. Imagine, he just had two heart attacks. He's 70 years old. He was seasick. He didn't know if anyone was going to be at the dock waiting for him. And he had 40 rupees, which he knew he couldn't even exchange. He had nothing and no one. Most of us, if we were on that boat, 70 years old, we would be praying to Krishna, please send someone to greet me. Just give me a place to stay in this foreign land. You don't read that in his prayers. He was just praying, Krishna, give me the words to speak your message. Give me the words to represent my spiritual master. Let me be a puppet and make me dance as you want me to dance. In other words, Prabhupada really cared. Paradukaduki, he felt for our suffering. And he felt our joy. And he wasn't concerned about his own. Whether he suffered or whether he was happy was irrelevant to him. His concern was that we be happy and we be alleviated from suffering. He cared about us from his heart. And he prayed to Krishna and his Gurudev to make him an instrument of that mercy. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we all know by his lectures, by his private talks, by our conversations with him, he really deeply cared for each and every one of his devotees. He cared for all living beings. He especially cared for his disciples and all the devotees in Prabhupada's movement. And because he genuinely actually cared and wanted to serve as a humble servant of the servant of the servant, that's when Krishna really empowers us. Not just to speak, but to transform people's hearts. Because we care. Because we love. Because we want, in a humble mood, to just be an instrument. We're not doing it for me. We're doing it for the person that we're serving. That is how he worships his guru. That is how Prabhupada worships his guru. And here we have come to Cleveland to celebrate Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja's Vyas Puja. What it really means to eat the dirt of Cleveland is to live by this spirit. It's very healthy too. You can eat the dirt of Cleveland. But what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, that eating the dirt was symbolic of taking the order of his guru as his life and soul. Ishwarapuri, his Gurudev, ordered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, take this holy name of Krishna and spread it throughout the world. Spread pure devotion, bhakti throughout the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really never started his preaching mission until he got this order from his Gurudev. And he went back to Navadvip immediately and began the Sankirtan movement. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ordered Prabhupada at Uttadanga Junction Road in Calcutta on their first meeting, take this message, the same message Lord Chaitanya received from his guru, to take it throughout the world. Prabhupada did it. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I can tell you, the way he lived, the way he departed from this world was very much a passionate appeal to all of his followers. This is what I want from you. He said it. But he wanted to do more than that because he loved you. He wanted to show you. You see how I'm living? You see how I'm dying? When he was laying in that bed in Gita Nagari, I saw how he was encouraging his god brothers and god sisters, how he was encouraging conditioned souls, how he was encouraging people who committed great offenses to him, how he was encouraging his disciples, melting their hearts, giving, giving, giving. He cared. This is what it means to worship the spiritual master. This is what he taught us. This is what he wants. This is what he expects. And why does he expect it? Because it's the way that we can all go back home, back to Godhead, and bring so many others with us. So we have come to his birthplace, Cleveland. Let us take the dust of this birthplace, which means taking the dust of his lotus feet, which means taking the example and instructions he gave as our life and soul. And when he sees you trying to follow in his footsteps in this way, in Goloka Vrindavan, he will be beating his drum and dancing in ecstasy.
Thank you very much.